This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to The Bigger Picture with me, Ti Xiaoyik and Lim Suan. If you've just joined us, I'm sure you've heard the news that Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin has tendered his resignation as the Prime Minister to the Yang di-Pertuan Agong. That also means that the Cabinet has resigned along with him. Tan Sri Muhyiddin has been appointed as interim Prime Minister in the gap between the decision over the appointment of the next Prime Minister. So we've been bringing you some analysis and looking at various perspectives to break down this development and to look at what we should expect next. And joining us right now on Zoom, we have Firdaus Husni, Chief Human Rights Strategist from the Malaysian Centre for Constitutionalism and Human Rights, or MCCHR. Hi Firdaus, how are you today?
Hello, good. Not bad. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thank you so much for your time. Now, Firdaus, to start with, last week, a few days ago, the then Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin, who's now, of course, the interim PM, he offered a number of reforms during a live press conference in exchange for support from members of parliament. And these reforms include setting a two-term limit for the Prime Minister, anti-party hopping law, and implementing the lowering of the voting age. Now, should the opposition MPs have taken this deal or perhaps sat down at the table for a discussion?
Well, I would say to answer this, the opposition needs to look at this from two perspectives and one cannot be separated from the other. So on one hand, these deals speak of reforms, and these are reforms for a better governance, a better forms of democracy. And so it's good when you look at the content. But the other perspective that has to be considered, and I am assuming this is the perspective on which premise the opposition makes their decision, that would be looking at the timing that these proposals are made. And not only that, looking at the track record of Pakatan Nasional for the past 1 year and a half when they were in government, there were hardly any reform agenda. It's not even in the national agenda. So when you look at that track record and the timing that this proposal is now being put forth, it's looking nothing more like a bargaining chip. And so when you look at this whole big picture, can we honestly believe that the proposer has the sincere intention to see this being carried through? That is the question, and I'm afraid I don't see that.
Firdaus, just looking forward to the future, when Pakatan Harapan released their statement saying that they rejected the former PM's offer, they did not explicitly state that they will be implementing these reforms immediately if they were to form the government. What's your take on this? Do you think the next government must prioritise reforms?
Well, okay, first of all, I think it was a political decision on the side of the opposition not to expressly say or state their position on this. It could also be because they are, taking lessons from their own Pakatan Harapan manifesto, where they say they wasn't expecting to win and they wasn't expecting to be bound by their own manifesto, if you all remember. Mm-hmm. And so it could probably be that. But anyway, that aside, the whichever government we are looking at next, yes, these reforms, one good thing that this proposal has made is that it has open conversations on, once again, on anti-hopping laws, on limited term for prime minister, allocation for opposition to be given a more significant role in governance. To me, it's good. And where this has created conversations and momentum for reforms, then we must continue and see that being translated into actual practice and policies. Yeah.
Are you able to narrow down what are the key reform issues that the next government should prioritise?
All right. So if we are looking at, can I just ask for clarification? Are we talking about the deals that's being proposed by?
Well, among them would be the reforms that were listed out in that deal. But any other reforms that you think the next government should prioritise?
Okay, all right. So firstly, I would like to say that we should continue talking about translating those reforms into actual, law and policy. That is one, but we must also bear in mind that the devil is in the details. So, it sounds good, but we don't know exactly how it's being, it will be put in place. So that calls for further discussion. But secondly, it shouldn't just stop there. There are also other areas that calls for reform, for example, ensuring independence of the enforcement agencies. There's a whole host of, conversation, not so separately, about whistleblower protection, for example. And for a person to be protected, one must go to enforcement agencies. But our enforcement agencies now is facing a public trust deficit. So let's address that. So that's one. And then what about enhancing more transparency in government processes? And we are not just talking about tenders, but in government spending. So when the rakyat question government spending, the members of the government must be prepared to answer this question. So it's not just in the law, but also in the political behaviours. And also allow for external oversight. So case in point would be the IPCMC. There's so much resistance and backlash against allowing external oversight. So that is one example if you want to talk about transparency within the government. And of course, another reforms would be the parliamentary reform. Private members' bill. If an opposition member put in a bill, usually that gets pushed down in the agenda and never gets tabled. So, that if you are serious about parliamentary reform, that there should be a space for opposition to play a more significant role in lawmaking, also ensuring more diversity in our MP. And lastly, this has been going on, to actually translate the discussion on separating the powers of AG and public prosecutor. That is way overdue. So these are some of the reforms that must be looked at.
Firdaus, in a previous interview with Dr. Sharifah Munira a few weeks ago, she talked about how in GE14 we changed the administration, but we didn't change the regime as a whole, and because of that, it's difficult to implement any proper institutional reforms. Do you think that substantial reforms would be possible with our current crop of MPs?
Okay, so I would say comparatively, if you were to look at the 14th session of our parliament, mm-hmm. if we compare that with the previous session, there are already changes happening, though not much. Yeah, and we talk about, for example, diversity, female representation, age. There are also representation of other of minority groups, for example. So you do see that, but it's not enough. It's not enough that it's largely seen like as a token. So we cannot have that. And yes, I do see there is merit in the statement that you just shared earlier, Su-An. And so the kind of law that we get very much depends on who makes the laws. And so that we must push for a change, for a reform in who sits in the parliament. And then, that would be a positive step towards guaranteeing better laws and policies.
What are the consequences if there's a lack of action in, ensuring these reforms take place? How will it impact the rakyat, which, we are already affected by the lack of reforms?
Yes. Okay. So, number one, we are already affected by the fact that when we look at things right now, especially with the ongoing pandemic, there are a lot of things that calls for reforms. And even that, barely anything moves in our parliament. And so the way I see it, if we are not going to do anything, if we're not going to take any of these reforms, put it into place and put a mechanism in place, more rakyats will suffer. That's one. And we will see more human rights violation in place. We will see more government actions and policies that are unchecked. And then, this doesn't just, when you talk about human rights, it's not just, you know, it's not just your civil and political rights, but the very fact that these are violated, it will affect their rakyat, their everyday, their day-to-day life, and of course the country's economy. It's the entire nation building that will be affected when reforms are not pushed.
So to end on a more actionable note, you know, how must we, the rakyat, ensure that the reform agenda continues regardless of what happens next?
All right. Okay. There's a couple of things. But of course, one, I would say one thing that we are now seeing a lot on social media is there are more and more conversation on reforms, on the kind of government that we want and the kind of MP that we want, the kind of PM that we want. The rakyat must continue these conversations. Yeah. And when you give visibility to these issues, it does create a momentum for these changes to take place. So that's number one. And number two, do reach out to your MPs and raise these suggestions. Yeah, well, on the one hand, it's good using your platform, using your social media platforms, but take it a step further. So that's number two. And number three, call out self-serving actions and policies. So, for example, there are a lot of, claims and allegations and stories you hear on social media saying that there is double standards in the implementation of the law, implementation of the SOP. Call that out so that the government knows that the public, you know, is watching. And they can't afford to continue to be self-serving in the implementation of their policies. Yeah, and also, of course, follow or in your own way, monitor, scrutinize the parliamentary process. So, for example, the last parliamentary session that we had, there was a huge discourses on social media. And I think that's very good. That's very good because now the MPs know, we can't misbehave on in parliament because my voters are watching. Mm. So these are, you know, the conversations that happen, and we must continue this conversation. And where there are spaces for that to be translated into action, we must play a part. And remember that as rakyat, our role cannot stop just at the ballot box. You undi and that's it. No, it has to be beyond that. And these are some of the ways. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, Firdaus. We've been speaking to Firdaus Husni, Chief Human Rights Strategist from the Malaysian Centre for Constitutionalism and Human Rights. So these are just a few of the voices we've been hearing from to help you better understand the latest developments following the resignation of Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin as Prime Minister. Coming up, a few messages, and then we will have the 5 o'clock news bulletin. After that, do keep it tuned to the evening edition, who will continue to speak to experts to look at the impact on the economy and politics in the country. This has been The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.